Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's time for Helping of the Potluck Society. Hugh Weber is here with me in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. You don't know what the Potluck Society is yet? Download the podcast. You can find out all about it. I'm sure everybody knows by now, Hugh.
Everyone. Literally everyone. They're just out there just throwing stories at me. I can't go into public anymore.
There you go. All right. Who are we going to meet today?
I'm excited about this week. Yeah. And this is someone I've known for a number of years, Addie Graham Kramer. She's the founder of The Event Company. Now, The Event Company at its most basic level plans and designs and manages events. But I've seen her behind the scenes. I think so often we get this sense that events are easy and they're fun. And so I wanted to dive into her work. She's planned events in 16 states across the country, and they've raised a little over $2.5 million for charities and nonprofits. But I asked Addie to capture a bit of the system of kind of the logistics that work behind the scenes for her. And what is it like to do her work?
I think that people always, they comment all the time. Actually, someone emailed us last night and said, you have the best job ever. And we get that all the time. And you're right, we absolutely do. But I'm telling you, it is hard work. It is such hard work. HuffPost posts, or they do an article every year that talks about the 10 most stressful jobs. And event planning is always in the top 10. It has been for years. And it's because you're dealing with all these different organizations and all these different individuals. I used to say multiple personalities, but it's multiple people. It's not personalities. But so at one time, we're planning 17 events at one time. So those 17 events have 17 CEOs or 17 executive directors. They have 17 boards of directors. They have all these individuals that are a part of it. That's just our client base, not our vendors. So then we work with production teams and lighting teams and cameramen, decor, floral. You have all these spinning plates all at once, and nothing can drop. At all. You know, our business is hospitality in that essence. You know, when you go to a hotel and you need a new towel, you call the front desk and guess what? John brings it up to your room right away, right? We're in the same business. People expect it now. So making sure that everyone is happy and they have their towel when they want it and it's the right color of towel is our job every single day. So yeah, there's a lot of spinning plates.
I just love I love her energy and personality, right, and everything else, but just the breadth of the work they do. I mean, she talks about in this next clip we'll hear about 20,000 people in a stadium or event center, but she also plans special dates for a businessman in town that knows he's not maybe totally creative enough to really wow his wife. So Addie helps him plan more interesting and exciting experiences for the two of them. So the spectrum is beautiful and insanely creative.
17 at one time, too.
Right?
How big is this staff? How many people are doing?
You know, it's a small group of people. She really credits her husband and family as well for making all of this work. But it's truly extraordinary. Now, a side note, I think the HuffPost also says that hosting In the Moment with South Dakota Public Broadcasting is one of the top most stressful jobs,
most rewarding
as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I think this region has hosted events from its beginning, you know, especially potlucks. But the professionalization of this business, I think, is relatively new and was interesting to me. So I asked Addie kind of why did it take so long for this profession to develop in the region? And she had an interesting answer.
So I think from the Midwest, though, I think we feel like we can just do it ourselves, right? So you have these administrative assistants, you have these marketing directors that are just doing it themselves. And even at like personal events, like birthday parties, oh, mom will do it and grandma will make this banner or whatever. So we just have this, I think, mentality of we will just get it done ourselves. And I think over the years, people have come to realize that, you know what, it doesn't make sense for cost. It's not cost effective for us to pull a marketing director out of their role to help market our firm for this one event that takes them 9 months to plan. You know, it does not make any sense at all. So why don't we pull someone else into the mix that has that expertise? So I think the cost piece of it is probably the biggest factor, but also the expertise side of it. I am not by any means an accountant. So why would you have an accountant help plan your huge anniversary celebration, right? So utilizing, I think, the skill set that people have to the best of their ability is why I think we've been brought into the mix. So we're working with organizations like Larson Manufacturing. When they have events all over the country, we're working with their employee committees just to help guide them. They're still a part of it, so we're not trying to pull it away from them, but we're helping to give them tools, and we're working smarter with it. So I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons why it took so long. Plus, when I left corporate America, I remember that CEO said, good luck with your hobby. I'm not kidding you. I think that people, and for me, it was just a fire, you know, to say, yep, we'll see what happens. But people didn't recognize it. Now universities have hospitality management programs. They're talking about event planning. We've taught a couple classes at SDSU about what tables should look like and what a Grammy style seating is. I don't think people realize that years ago. So now it's actually being recognized, which is pretty awesome.
So this is one of my favorite moments in the podcast. She said Grammy style seating. I thought she said granny style seating. Yeah. I had this vision of like a different alternate seating plan for grandmothers. But Grammy style seating is simply that you're on one side of the table so that everyone can see what's happening on stage. No one has their back to the table.
Might also be applicable to grannies.
Yeah,
put your grandmother where she can see.
As their eyesight fades, they need to have a clearer line of vision.
No, because they're so important that they need to always put the grandmothers up front. That's the rule.
Yeah. You know, I spend a lot of time with creatives of all styles, and I think that for the first time I saw Addie's work as extremely creative, not only in execution, but also in vision. I think it's easy to dismiss kind of the event company or the work that professional planners do in that way as just party planners or, you know, cake decorators. But a big part of their work is fundraising, and they've helped raise millions of dollars for area charities. So I asked how she views this idea of events being a one-day experience and their impact beyond that one day.
We always talk about we build dreams. That's one of our biggest things. And I always say it's not just about the one-day event or the two-day experience. It's what is beyond that. And I will keep referring to this one, but I'll just keep talking about the Cattlemen's, right? So look at the lives that they are impacting across the state year after year after year. And even if it is a one-day event, what's the impact to the community? I think that's one of the biggest pieces. People think they're just going to a fundraiser and that's it. And you're just picking out napkin colors and what happens beyond that. Girl Scouts, you're helping build these camps or whatever. It's totally beyond that. How does it impact our community? And I think that's what happens at these events. You know, we go to these events, you as well, and you're seeing these speakers that get up on stage or a cancer survivor who talks about all these different pieces. But what's beyond that? And I feel like it's a good question, but I feel like we're still kind of figuring out what that looks like, because it's impacting the community in so many different ways, so many different facets, and it's all these little lives that you're either saving or changing just through events, one event at a time. I don't know what the legacy looks like. I hope we're a part of building something pretty powerful. I feel like it every day. When you're standing on a stage, I remember when Toby Keith was here last year and we presented this check for $212,000 with Feeding South Dakota and the Cattlemen's. And you look out in the crowd and there's over 10,000 people there. You cannot help but get so emotional because you were a part of this huge thing. And all these people are here because of what you helped create with this organization. And there is no, I get goosebumps now. There's no feeling unlike that anywhere else at all. And it's not just making things look pretty. You are truly a part of these lives being changed. So that's, I kind of feel like, is what the legacy that we're leaving behind is, all these little lives that we are so passionate about that are being changed in all these communities.
She talks about that community side of things and that relationship with the client a lot. I mean, she really sees these as long, long, long-term partnerships. Everyone needs a birthday every year. Everyone has a large-scale event every year. It's not transactional. There's something so deeply personal and relational that I didn't expect and should have.
You've done a lot of events. You've been on the stage as a public speaker for a lot of different events. Do you feel that sense of goosebumps too when you're in a room and you realize all these people have come together? And, you know, again, the napkins might be a backdrop, but they matter because everything is sort of reached its point of synergy and coordination and all is well. And then the crowd can focus, and then what?
Yeah, there's this great moment at an event, and I've talked about it before, but I came out of a political world, and political rallies to me are one of the most beautiful things that you can experience, is watching people super excited and passionate about their community. But there's this moment in an event where the planning stops and the execution begins, and you start to see whether the work is right, whether the plan and the strategy and the context is right. And you know it's right when things move smoothly, and not that there aren't hiccups. There are almost always going to be hiccups, but that you see people engaging what you've set up for them, like a great play. You see the audience responding at the parts that you wanted them to respond to. You see them, you know, looking at the materials or enjoying the meal or recognizing the value of the speaker. And there's something so rewarding about that. And I saw that rippling through the entire conversation with Addie. She sets the stage, and in a really extraordinary way is a stage designer or a playwright or, you know, all of those things. And she gets to watch every week those things play out. And what an incredible gift to the people around her that are experiencing it, but also to herself. Something so fulfilling in that.
She must have to be an incredible editor, making those decisions, because you can go overboard. When is it done? When is it enough? When are there, you know, when do the chocolates at your table have your logo on it for $80 a bag? Or when do you say no to that? And a lot of people have to provide input for that. So did she talk about that sort of artistry of deciding what is enough, what is essential, and, you know, what's window dressing that we don't need?
Well, yes. And I think she dismisses in the one clip we hear her say she's not an accountant, but I don't think that means she's not extraordinarily good at budgeting and frameworks and constraints. I think she thrives, my experience with her and watching her lead events, she thrives within a set of constraints. And I think she's very good to provide clarity, to provide context for those customers and clients so that they know what those constraints are. And then she can run and she can create freely and she can be crazy. But I don't think that her style is one of excess. And mm-hmm. it can't be when you've got 17 projects at one time. Right. It can't be about excess. It's about it's about fully designing and revealing the possibility of that dream. And whether that dream is a date with your wife or a graduation party or an anniversary party or the attempt to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars through a large concert, realizing that dream, I think, is what she focuses most on.
My favorite part in this conversation has been the moment where she says, or the CEO says, good luck with your hobby. And she's like, okay. You must, you know, when a lot of your stories and the people that you talk to, you know, some big thinkers with big imaginations, bold action, not afraid to look somebody else in the eye and say, yeah, I'm not going to let you hold me back. I'm going to go do this. Do you love finding those stories, or do those stories just sort of keep finding you?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think I love those stories because, and you've said it before, it's me search, right? It's what we most need. And I need to keep being reminded that it's okay to take those risks, that I need to fully recognize that those risks exist and that things don't always succeed. But that if you take those risks, there's often incredible rewards on the other side. And so I love finding those stories, but they also find me, because I think this region is built out of people that exhibit that same spirit and resilience. You know, we tell a lot of stories about things that have gone well, and now I want to go seek and find a story of someone talking about a deep failure that provided insight to them. But I think the people that are here had to survive, had to be resilient, had to take a risk. It's a risk to live in a vast, wide open state with unforgiving winters, and to be creative and to be focused on community. And that's who we are.
Did she have a story of the event gone wrong, or all the things that do go wrong? You've got a minute.
she didn't, but she talked about where
she's discreet.
She is. She is discreet and she is efficient and mm-hmm. she also knows the story that she wants to tell with her events and with her organization and with her own vision for her future. She did talk a little bit, and we get into a little bit her recent efforts over the past year to focus on herself and to find time for self help and self healing and exercise and everything else, and just time with her family. And so I think there is that slice of recognizing that an entrepreneur can take a lot of risks, but they also need to make sure their foundations are firm.
Hugh Weber, Potluck Society. You can download it wherever you, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. And then also you can listen at listen.sdpb.org. We will see you next week.
I'll be here.